back by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
10-5, touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. The New York Giants have had clutch performances in Super Bowls over their history. In fact, Plaxico Burress's catch to win Super Bowl 42, or David Tyree's catch in that same Super Bowl, Mario Manningham in Super Bowl 46. But the trend started earlier in the Giants' Super Bowl 25 victory against the Buffalo Bills. A key touchdown at the end of the first half by Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker, who took an unlikely route to New York City. Stephen, coming out of Fresno State, 5'8", 160 pounds. How many people told you you wouldn't get drafted?
I actually had people in high school and college, junior high tell me that I would never play in the NFL. I had a history teacher tell me that. And I think that kind of pushed me to be the best player that I could be, because I always figured if I could jump higher than the 6'2" receivers and be aggressive going across the middle and average a high yardage per catch, I should get drafted.
All right, so you get drafted by the Giants in the third round of 1987. Now you find out you got to go to the defending Super Bowl champions. What was that like?
Well, you know, it was like a dream come true. I have to say, I had to pinch myself to know that I could possibly be the teammate of Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor and Phil Simms. And I had a lot of confidence in myself, but I was like, it's going to be tough to make this team because they won the Super Bowl last year. They don't really need me. So I came in here with a fire. Like, I remember when I walked into the stadium, I said, I belong here.
What was it like when you first met Parcells?
The first time he called me on the phone, he said, just welcome to the New York Giants. And I said, thanks, coach. And he said, I got to ask you one question. You have to hate the Redskins. And I'm like, coach, I hate the Redskins.
Was he hard on you in that first training camp?
Oh, yes. He said I had two strikes against me. One, I was from California, and I had an earring in my ear. And I was little. I'm sorry, three strikes. But, you know, him being hard on me was nothing I hadn't faced out throughout my whole career. So I kind of welcomed it, because I always wanted to prove him wrong.
What was it like having veteran guys like Harry Carson, George Martin in that locker room, as guys that you probably watched on TV in the playoffs the previous couple of years? Now you're the teammates.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was actually right. My locker was right next to George Martin. And I used to say sir to him, as I did to Harry Carson as well. Interesting story about Harry Carson. When I was a rookie and got on the plane, they wouldn't let me sit down. And Harry was the only nice guy to let me sit down. Harry was like, come on, rookie, you can sit with me. And he let me sit with him. And then after the game, we beat the Patriots preseason. I had a big catch in there and rode back on the plane. He's like, so how'd it feel, Rook? I was like, you know, Harry, it felt pretty good. And later on, I talked to him now, and he said the only reason he was nice to me is because he didn't think I was going to make the team.
Do you remember the first time you met your wide receivers coach, Tom Coughlin?
Yes, I do. And, you know, Tom was like, I believe in a Larry Bird work ethic. And that's the type of attitude we're going to have. And we knew we were in trouble there.
It was because you had young receivers. I mean, you had you, Odessa, Mark Ingram. They were trying to transition their receiver group. What were some of the things that Coughlin taught you guys?
Well, most of all, discipline. You know, being where we needed to be on time. We never wasted a second in practice. Before he got there, when they were doing 9-on-7, we used to take a knee. That used to be our rest period. Nope, he would get a backup quarterback, take us down at the other end of the field, and we would run routes. Discipline for the game, far as knowing the defenses. We knew what they were going to do before they even knew what they were going to do. That's what I learned the most from him, was preparing for the game.
Even with the NFL work stoppage in 1987, Baker showed promising glimpses of things to come, recording 15 receptions and 2 touchdowns in his rookie season.
Rutledge takes the handoff to Morris. He's throwing long. Down deep. He's got Baker. Yes, at the 1-yard line. He's in. Touchdown.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker.
Well, Stephen Baker is my guy. You know, I call him Weezer, sort of like one of those characters from The Little Rascals. Wide receiver. He was slippery. He had really good hands. He wasn't afraid to go across the middle. For his size, he had a really big heart. And he's you know, one of my all-time great Giant wide receivers because he was fearless.
Sims fakes the handoff again in the pocket. Going long, way down for Baker. Complete touchdown! Sims rolling right away from the pressure. He's going end zone again. He's got Baker. Touchdown! And he's in!
Yeah! 88 season. Did it almost feel like you were, because of the strike and because of everything that was going on, did it almost feel like you were, had to redo your rookie year again, or was like rookie year and a half because of what happened in 87?
Yeah, more or less. And I did something I'd never done before. I really took to weightlifting, and I lifted weights very hard with Johnny Parker. And ultimately, I hit my best season in 88. So I applied myself to work harder, and it showed up when I got on the field.
Second and goal from the six. Sims is going to pass. If he has a chance, they're after him. He throws too deep. Set the back of the line. No signal. Yes! Touchdown! He had both feet in.
That Baker is sensational.
Incredible. He was over the line. He got both feet in.
Where'd you get Touchdown Maker from?
Actually, when I was a little kid, I used to call myself that because I used to score like 4 and 5 touchdowns, but I never told anybody. But in a junior college game, I scored 4 touchdowns off of 4 catches the first time I was ever on artificial turf. And a reporter came up to me afterwards and said, "Wow, that was one of the greatest junior college performances I've ever seen. Do you mind if I print Stephen Baker the Touchdown Maker?" And then ever since then, it just kind of lived up to it. And of course, I had to keep it going, you know.
The nickname would fittingly stick, and 1988 would prove to be a breakout year for the Touchdown Maker.
He's going to run, throws to Baker in the corner, touchdown!
In the most productive season of his career, he'd haul in 40 receptions for 560 yards and a team-high 7 receiving touchdowns.
Back goes Rutledge. Rutledge in the pocket. He's running, he throws on the run for Baker! He's got it! At the 10! This is the game. It's on the line right here.
The 25-yard
spot. Ball is up, and it's going to be good. Giants are on top.
21 seconds remaining.
Obviously, that season, you guys went 10-6, but you didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Huge disappointment, losing the last game of the regular season to the Jets. Harry and George, you know, their careers with the Giants coming to an end. What was that like for you to be a part of that disappointment and see these leaders kind of leave?
Yeah, it was very, you know, disheartening because you played a game for your teammates and you wanted them to leave out on a good note.
Did you feel like you guys kind of squandered some chances? 88, you know, you lose the regular season game. 89, Flipper Anderson play against the Rams. Did you feel like, hey, man, we're missing some chances here? We got a good team.
You know, I still remember when we lost that game, Flipper Anderson running through the tunnel and not coming back. I didn't see the play happen live. I looked over at Odessa Turner. I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Bake, it's over." But also we learned from those mistakes because we are always in position. And me personally, I learned from each one of those losses. Yeah, I had my first playoff catch in that game. I had 2 catches, so I knew how I was going to react if we got to that game again.
What was the mindset of this team like going into that camp in 90?
Well, we got a taste of it. And we went into that season, the mindset, I think they said that we're probably going to go 8-8 that year. So that was my thing. I was like, we're not an 8-8 team. And when we started off, 10-0, I'm telling you, it felt like college. We just felt unstoppable. And there was a lot of love in that locker room. Everybody picked everybody up. And in turn, we were making each other better players.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker.
You had some very big games against the Redskins. You made some big plays against the Redskins. Did that always stick in the back of your mind that Parcells, when he had first called, you said you better hate the Redskins? Because you seemed to elevate your game against them.
Yeah, it was just something about the RFK, their stadium, and that grass, and the way the fans are so passionate there. The place is rocking. The stadium, you can see it shaking. I think that's why. I just love playing in RFK.
Sims has the ball at the 10. Throwing over the middle. He's got a receiver. It's complete to Baker. 30, 35, 40. He might go. 35, 40. A
15, he's in!
I want to ask you, Phil Simms gets hurt against the Buffalo Bills. Do you think that, damn, there goes our chance to win a Super Bowl? We got a great team. We got off to this really fast start. We're toast. Or were you one of those guys that believed that Hostetler could come in and get it done?
And as a matter of fact, I knew he could get it done because he and I, when we weren't starters, we were on the dummy offense. And we would approach practice. He'd say, Bake, let's get him yelled at today, which means we're going to go after the first string defense and get Parcells all angry because we're going to beat them back to back. And consequently, what that did was we developed our timing.
Hostetler sets up two men left. Hostetler has the ball. Hostetler throws a looper deep. It is complete for a touchdown.
So when he took over, we were not worried, especially me. And I knew he would look for me more often because of the relationship we had.
Down for Baker, baby. Touchdown!
The Giants' quest for a championship began at home against Chicago in the 1990 NFC Divisional Playoff game. Baker and Hostetler would be up for the challenge.
And we've got a brilliant sunshiny day for the Bears and the Giants. Two old rivals going back as far as any two teams in the National Football League. Receiver right, looks left, throws end zone deep, Baker, touchdown!
What a call in the corner of the left end zone.
Pretty bitter rivalry with the 49ers during that era. In San Francisco on Monday night, Simms and Ronnie Lott getting each other's face after the game was over. Did you feel in your gut that we were going to meet these guys again?
Well, I kind of recall Parcells saying, you know, don't worry, guys, we may see these guys again. And I was hoping we would.
You get your chance to see them again. They're going for three in a row. They're three-peat. What was it like that day in San Francisco and before the game?
Wow, it was like payback. You know, here it is, playing the biggest game of your life, first of all. This is to go to the Super Bowl.
In a tough smash-mouth battle, both teams would dish out their share of big hits.
Hostetler took a beating that day. I mean, he got knocked around pretty good. What was it about him that made him so tough, so resilient?
Well, I think his mental toughness, you know, just like myself, always wanting to prove people wrong, you know, because he proved that day that he could be a starter, you know, and be a great quarterback.
As you guys were settling for field goals, when you were making field goals, are you starting to say to yourself, man, you know, not scoring any touchdowns here with these chances, this could be the difference?
Absolutely. And, of course, as a receiver and a, you know, big play receiver, like, we got to make a play somewhere. And I thought we almost had it when Maurice Carthon unfortunately dropped that pass and make it through. This, to this day, is one of the prettiest spirals I think I've ever seen.
Into the end zone, Carthon. Touchdown. He dropped it.
Oh my goodness. Carthon dropped it.
I thought it was over because that great Niner team, Roger Craig, you know, all they had to do was run the clock out. And thank God Eric Howard put his head on that ball.
Craig again, in behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball. Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball.
And you knew that the Giants were going for it. That's what Bill Parcells is saying. Yep, we need it.
When we got the ball back, Ingram and I looked at each other and said, come on, man, it's up to us. Let's do it. And I think Ingram caught a pass on that drive, Bavaro and myself. And when Bart lined up to kick that ball, I mean, he had to make it. You know, he had to.
Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Knights are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
It wasn't a dry eye on the field because we knew we were going to the Super Bowl after beating them down there under those circumstances.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Stephen Baker.
To the right side, Simms has the ball. Simms in trouble, throws. Throw complete to Baker. Gets away from the tackler. He might be gone. 10-5. Touchdown.
At Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, Baker and the Giants would be heavy underdogs facing a dominant Buffalo Bills team.
At wide receiver from Fresno State, number 85, Stephen Baker.
In this football game, we knew about Buffalo and their high-powered offense. And your offense had to play a big role as far as keeping them off the field.
Yes, actually, Ron Erhardt, the night before the game in our team meeting, offensive meeting, he said, guys, at the end of this game, I want to have the longest margin of holding the ball possession in NFL history. And we knew if we kept the ball out of their hands and just controlled it, we have a chance.
As the brain trust, Ron Erhardt, far right for you, offensive coordinator of the Giants.
You go on that drive at the end of the first half, and you get the touchdown.
Third down, 10 at the 14, 30 seconds remaining in the half. Ostermy throws, touchdown! Stephen Baker. And he beats the main man, Nate Odoms.
The route that they called was one that we'd use effectively in the playoffs against the Bears, and I knew I was getting the ball if they came up in man coverage. And sure enough, Odom came inside technique, and the linebackers blitzed, and I said, please, line, just hold up, because I'm about to run the best post-corner route I ever ran in my life right now. And Hostetler put it right on the money.
Third down. Giants need 7 points. Throws end zone. Touchdown, Baker! We mentioned it was gut check time, and these Giants just passed that gut check. Came down and scored 7 when they needed it. And the Giants now trail 12-10 with 25 seconds to go in the first half.
Now the second half comes, and you start the third quarter with this longest drive in mm-hmm. Super Bowl history. OJ's pounding the rock. There's big play after big play. Did you feel like you were taking the spirit out of the Bills?
Absolutely. And, you know, just chunking up yardage and getting first downs, I'm telling you, it's just as good as scoring a touchdown or catching a pass.
You can make the case that Mark Ingram's third down catch and run could be one of the greatest catch/plays in Super Bowl history.
It was unbelievable. And that play, you know, you can talk about my touchdown or whatever, but that play, I think, really got us fired up and, like, we can win this because that effort, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, he broke about 4 or 5 tackles. That was the heart and soul. That's what New York Giants of 1990 were all about.
Giants on the 1.5-yard line. OJ, touchdown! The Giants take the lead, 16-12.
When OJ got that touchdown, and I tell you, it just even made it better because we knew we were getting close.
All right, so now you guys have the lead, and now they have the ball, and they're driving. And Thurman Thomas, he easily could have been the Super Bowl MVP. He was awesome in the game. And they finally realized that, hey, against this Giant defense, we should probably run it. Where are you as Norwood lines up?
I was standing right where he was about to kick from, and I was looking at the play, and I said, you know what, I can't even watch it.
Oh, boy, hearts beat faster in Buffalo. High drama here in the Super Bowl. Here comes number 11, Scott Norwood. Incredible.
What a fine game. What an absolutely fine game.
The Super Bowl will ride on the right foot of Norwood.
Snap, spot, in the air. It's got the distance. It is.
I can still hear the ball being kicked, and you know, I hear the roar go up, and I look out of the corner of my eye. I just turned around and ran on the field. It was singly the most exciting play ever in my life.
Baker would retire from Big Blue after the 1992 season, finishing his career with 21 touchdowns and 141 receptions.
Just being part of the Giant history is such a blessing. And, you know, I still go out and people, I say my first name, the touchdown maker, and they all talk about the play from the Super Bowl. So it's been a great honor.
But a Giant forever, Baker has stayed close to his beloved team as one of the franchise's most active community ambassadors.
I was always raised to help people. And I had no idea that my celebrity from just playing 6 years with the Giants can touch so many lives and just make so many people happy. It's just something that I enjoy doing, giving back.
Small in stature, but giant in heart, no one epitomizes the Giant legacy more than the touchdown maker.
Once a Giant, always a Giant means to me. Going out representing this organization by doing good deeds, playing for one of the storied franchises in NFL history. And I'm always humbled and blessed to say that I'm a Giant. I still wear my Giant stuff every day. It was the greatest 6 years of my life.
Stephen Baker wears that Giants blue each and every day of his life since his playing career with the New York Giants. He stayed in the New York metropolitan area and has done so much wonderful work for charity. But no one will ever forget Stephen Baker and that touchdown catch at the end of the first half in Super Bowl 25. A touchdown maker and a Giant legend. That wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you join us each and every week right here on MSG for another edition of Giants Chronicles. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com.